All right, you're listening to FUQU, Crab Apples Only, soft and hard rock station. Sometimes you like it soft, sometimes it's just hard. Rick Rocket Stevens here with you. You know what time it is. It's time for our good friend James, Jimmy Jam Jim, to come back in the studio and rock you through the drive time hour. He'll make sure you get through that horrible crab apple traffic we're known for. Jim, take it away.
A few minutes ago, I was letting in on a little bit of information that I'm assuming was supposed to be secret, but I was told that I'm going to be let go on Friday after my show, and I have since then, I confirmed it, and you know what, I've decided to just say screw it and give the big middle finger to upper management instead of giving them an opportunity. So first, I want to say thank you to you, thank you upper management for the not so great times, but in the end, I would not trade any of it for the world, and I'm grateful we spent the time together. There is nothing worse than managers that think that radio people are like commodities to be used up and thrown away with. They're no longer valuable to the shareholders, which, by the way, I've been working at. I've been working without a contract. That wasn't a priority. Now I find out there's another deal in the works with somebody else, and they're only minutes away from handing me my walking papers. Well, here's your 15-second notice. Kiss my ass, and especially you, Bill Hendrick and David Israel. You two empty suits will be lucky if this is the only time this happens to you, and it's going to be a bright day when your desks are emptied and radio is free of you. Now, this shows you how much they're paying attention, by the way, because they should have been in here by now, and if they were really listening to the radio stations and knew what was going on. So thanks for nothing. Rotten health radio. I am gone.
Well, shit, I guess this means I'm pulling a double. We'll be back after this commercial break.
While it's probably wise to keep your children away from the commercial break podcast altogether, this particular episode is certainly graphic. Listener discretion is advised.
On this episode of the commercial break,
from what I read in the article, it was another whale that had died, and that he then was able to put on the skin of the dick as a robe.
So, you know what they call that? And this is an actual thing. They call it pizzle leather.
Good old pizzle leather.
Schnizzle my pizzle, Mizzle.
What's that? What's that coat you got on made of?
Well,
there?
It's
the finest.
It's the finest in pizzle leather.
I thought you did do some tantric stuff.
I did, but I'm not going to call myself any kind of like tantra yogi guru. Or something. Yeah, I'm not a guru. A guru. I'm not a puru, a guru of the penis. I'm not giving a holy sacrament to somebody, right? I didn't take it that far. I didn't want to send my son out there into the wild and then, you know, have some disturbing interactions, especially as a teenager.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
In locker rooms and sleepovers, whatever, you know.
I was thinking more of sex, but yeah, I guess the boys too. I was thinking more of sex. Like, I was thinking more of that, you know, that first awkward interaction that you have.
Yeah.
You know, and you're fumbling around as teenagers.
True.
Yeah. And for me, that was, you know, 11, but...
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. It's another episode of The Commercial Break.
What is up?
How are you?
I'm good.
It's Kristen Hoadley. I'm Brian Green. Best to you, Chrissy.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Thanks for joining us on yet another episode of The Commercial Break. The one and only. The best.
Best one ever.
Yeah, flying in the podcast heavens with the greats. When they say names like Conan O'Brien, Rachel Maddow, who's the other one? Joe Budden. They also say the what? The who?
There's the glitch.
The commercial what? Who are those two fucking morons? It's me. It's her. Thanks for joining us. Chrissy, there's an announcement today out of North Korea, and I think I should play it because it's a very important announcement.
Okay.
And I'm concerned that I'm concerned about what's going on over there. I'm concerned for our dear leader, Kim Jong-un.
Okay.
Kim Jong-un. Very concerned for him after this announcement that I heard earlier today. I want to play it for you.
Okay.
I want everyone to listen very carefully. If you haven't already heard this on your state-run radio or television station, this is what you soon will be hearing about our dear leader, the Holy One, Kim Jong-un.
이 땅에 주름지는 행복의 열매, 우리의 생활에 마중 오는 살이 부기 영나는 이렇듯 우리 원수님의 눈물겨운 천만 고생 속에 마련되는 것이거니 불편하신 몸이시건만 이 길을 위한 용도의 길을 불같이 이어가시는 우리 원성이 삼복의 그무더운 여름날 여름의 처리마 타일공장에 펼쳐진 가슴 뜨거운 화보.
I just can't even listen anymore. The words, they cut too deep. They hurt too bad, Chrissy.
You don't even have to understand the language to just feel the emotion.
Kim Jong-un has a limp. He's got a limp.
A limp.
A limp. And this is...
얼마나 천만 심장 격동시킨 것입니까?
Maybe it's because he doesn't poop.
Music. He doesn't poop.
No, that's what they've told everyone.
He has scored a 36 while golfing. He scored a 36 one time golfing. He only bowls a perfect score. Mm-hmm. He's made the best movies. He rides the best horses. He can make a rocket at the snap of a fingers. He is Kim Jong-un, supreme leader of North Korea. This is how they make announcements. I mean, you don't even have to speak that fucking language to understand how much bullshit this is. Can you imagine if someone ran something like that about Joe Biden? Joe Biden has a limp. Ah! And what they're saying is he has a limp.
He's walking with a limp.
Okay. He's in poor health because he's walking with a limp.
Yeah.
Our dear leader. And what you see in the video, which... I don't want to play because I don't want to be a target of North Korean internet activists, yes. Right? But what you see in the tweet that they put out, or the video that they put out, is essentially Kim Jong-un walking around like a military factory, and he tries to, he's walking with a little bit of a limp. It's actually not that bad, uh-huh. Right? It's like he's got a blister on his little toe or something. And he tries to pick up a box of something, ammunition or something, and he can't even get it off the floor, and then he puts it back down, and he starts yelling at the guy. He's like,
too heavy.
Yeah. You made this too heavy. It's like the amount that I wonder, and I have to imagine, I've always wondered this, because when you live in a world where there is no other form of communication,
right.
When there's no other thing that you know, yep. And you're just being spoon-fed all of this bullshit, mm-hmm. I know you certainly have to pretend like you know that he's the supreme leader and there's nothing else.
Yeah.
But if you've never heard anything to the contrary,
yeah.
Would you believe this? Probably.
Probably.
That's
the only thing that you've got to go on.
There's nothing else.
Yeah.
There's no other information that you have. So these people, most of them, I got to imagine, blindly believe that he is the Lord and Savior. There is no religion. It's Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
He's it. He's the guy.
He's the guy.
That's
he's
it.
The one.
I once watched a video of a couple of reporters who managed to get access to like a fair over there, like a celebration, a fair. I mean, people do go over there, right?
Yes. They're, not very often.
Not very often, but... because you can end up like that, Warheimer guy. What was that guy's name?
He had a weird first name.
Yeah. Anyway, he was in a coma. He came back dead.
Yes.
Basically, mm-hmm. Came back brain dead, and they had no reason why. But anyway, they were over there in wherever they were, and there was like a fair, a Ferris wheel and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it was sparsely attended, and there were just a few people there, and the reporters managed to gain access to people to talk to, but they only could ask a few certain questions. But
was it like a staged fair? I mean, there weren't many people.
Who knows? Okay. Right? Who really knows what's real or what's fake over there?
Yeah.
And if the Western press is over there, you know that everything is highly
guarded.
Choreographed because mm-hmm. That's the way that it is.
Yep.
So they were talking to these people that seemed like people they just randomly picked out of the crowd. But what the reporters or what the documentary makers realized afterwards is there was actually a guy that kept walking behind everybody, like in the shot, this guy mm-hmm. was just walking back and forth,
monitoring.
Walking back and forth. And the people they were interviewing would like look over and look at him, right? And so it was like, fuck it.
What?
Supreme leader. Swear to God. I believe all the bullshit.
Yeah.
I once also read a story about people that would run cell phones over there.
Yeah.
They would run cell phones with preloaded stuff like The Office or a movie or something like that, because there's no internet over there. So you aren't getting on the free internet, at least, the free worldwide internet. But they were like preloading movies with The Office or something, and some dude got, people were killed because they were watching The Office. And it's like,
whoa.
Holy shit.
Michael Scott.
I like Pam and Jim as much as the next guy, but that's just kind of a bunch of horse shit. I wanted to get right into something that actually you had pointed out the other day. There are scientists, actual scientists, who are now trying to study the supposed size. They're trying to get to the bottom of how big was Moby's dick. Moby mm-hmm. Dick's dick, mm-hmm. the whale in Moby Dick. How big was his shaft?
Yeah.
And because there's apparently a whole chapter
it was taller than a Kentuckian. is what
as tall as a Kentuckian and as wide as a whatever, like a freight train or something like that. It's really a weird chapter that's like all about sex and the dick.
Yes.
And it's almost like a, it's almost like the, who's the writer of Moby Dick?
Oh,
oh yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah. This shows us how much we know, right?
I never read it.
I never
had to in school, and then it just hasn't come back up in my top ones that I've got to read.
I think it was one of those things on a reading list,
yeah.
Like a summer reading list.
Yeah.
Here's one of the choices. And mm-hmm. I always pick the ones about like war or nonfiction. I never wanted to read any of that shit. So I don't think I ever read Moby, maybe a chapter or something like that. But anyway, so he...
Herman Melville.
Herman Melville.
Just came to me. I think that's who wrote it.
Oh, sure. Herman Melville, the writer of Moby Dick, says Hoadley.
It just popped in my head.
He wrote a whole chapter, like chapter 11 is just apparently he went crazy for a minute and just started writing this chapter.
I don't even know if it's Moby's dick. I think from what I read in the article, it was another whale that had died. And he then was able to,
put
on the skin of the dick
as a robe. So you know what they call that? And this is an actual thing. They call it pizzle leather.
Good old pizzle letter.
Schnizzle my pizzle, Mizzle.
What's that? What's that coat you've got on made of there?
It's
the finest.
It's the finest in pizzle leather. How do you like my pizzle leather? Well, it smells a little funky. That's the sign of good pizzle leather. Pizzle leather. I'm going to start calling my penis a pizzle. I'm like, acid, hey, you want some of this pizzle? Can I schnizzle this pizzle up on your bizzle?
Astrid will be like, what?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it gives a whole new definition to the meaning.
You got to spice things up.
Yeah. here's a question. It gives a whole new meaning to the thought of circumcision, right? When you're thinking about cutting off a pizzle and putting it on as a robe. The age old question has always been, does size matter? Mm-hmm. Now, there are these scientists who take this entirely too seriously. I don't know why you would be studying this, trying to get to the bottom of how big Moby's dick was or whoever's dick was involved, whatever whale dick this guy was talking about. But does size, they're saying they estimated that it was between 7 and 8 feet long.
Yeah.
And like the girth of a car, small Tesla. Does size matter is the question that has always been asked. It's like it's almost a trope at this point, right? Mm-hmm. And everyone says, no, size doesn't matter. It's how you use it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
Mm.
Or does size matter?
I mean, I think it matters up to a certain point.
What is that point? How many inches is that point? That's what I'm trying to get to the bottom of. I'm trying to see if I'm up to that point where it doesn't matter anymore.
I think you would know.
Well, maybe. Maybe.
Astrid would have known.
Well, that's true.
Yes.
I don't take Astrid for the kind of person who would have settled for less. No, let's put it that way.
Right. Me either.
But she certainly didn't get the supersize. I'm not that big gulp you get over at the... I'm like a Starbucks, you know, grande. I'm a grande. Yeah, it's
not
probably
the
more. It's probably a little bit more than you need, but you can, you know, you probably take it if you need it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want the smaller, whatever they call it. What do they call that one? It's a grande, venti, and regular, or whatever they call it.
Yeah, large or something.
Something like that. Some fancy Italian name. It's all bullshit. I never remember. I just always say large, right?
Yeah.
And so the small one is just, you know, a gulp. But then grande is like, oh, you know, it's probably a little bit more than I need, but just right.
Uh-huh.
And then the venti is always, you know, you're flying off the rafters.
I love the venti.
Yeah, I bet you do. Chrissy's getting all excited about pizzle. So that made me do some research, right? Because all my life I've heard this trope, but I've never really understood. I've never done any research on this.
Yes.
I've never measured my own penis.
Okay.
I have no idea how long or how short it is. I'm sure it feels just fine to me.
Yes, I've never had
any problems with it. Fits nicely in my hand. Everything's going well, right?
Good.
I've never had any complaints, but I'm not sure I would have dated anyone that would have been rude enough to complain. So you know what I'm saying? Or actually, no, that's not true.
Yeah.
I think I did one time date somebody that was rude enough to complain. She did. Okay, so there you go.
Okay.
But so I did some research. The average penis length in the United States, according to the most recent poll that I could find, or the most recent research that I could find, is 3.9 inches.
Oh.
3.9 inches flaccid.
Soft. Yes.
3.9 inches. And there's a certain way you got to measure this. It's very important that you measure it correctly, because if you don't, you're gonna be walking tall, or you're going to be, you know, depressed for the rest of your life. So 3.9 inches soft. Most women, according to this poll, according to this research that I did, in a study that was done, say that so the 3.9 inches equals somewhere around, like, I forget what it was, like 5.78 hard or something like that, right? You grow almost.
Some people are growers and some people are showers.
That's right. Most women said in this very scientific study about sex that 5.5 inches was adequate, that 6.5 inches was pleasurable, and that anything over 7.5 inches was maybe a bit much for most women, right? Now, that's not every woman. That was like 59% of the people said 7 inches is too much.
Okay, yeah.
And then anything over 8 inches, forget about it. It's like, you know, there's a very small percentage of the population. Most men, when asked how big their penis was before measurement, would say 6 inches.
I would say six inches.
While most men were actually only 3.9 inches, right? When asked how big they were hard, they said close to 10 inches.
10?
And they were only 5.8. So there's a big difference between perception and reality.
Yes, there is.
And this brings me to one of our talking points today that I wanted to get with you. How long is ideal sex for you? How long?
We've really turned this into a show that my family members cannot listen to.
This is the, this, what are you talking about? You play this episode at Thanksgiving. Trust me, your family members don't listen anyway.
I know.
I have no fear.
What was the original question?
The original question was, how long is pleasure? You don't even have to answer in the first person. Just answer, how long do you think most people would say pleasurable sex lasts?
Yeah, I'm going to go with, like, you know, an hour, maybe sometimes less, more.
An hour? What the fuck are you talking about?
Well, like, from beginning
to
end.
I'm so sorry, Astrid.
From the moment of first kiss.
Are we talking about, like, from when the movie starts playing till after dinner? Like, what are we talking about here? An hour? What are you, tantric?
That's
your sting? What are you doing, an hour? There's no way. That's too much. That's too much.
It depends on the night, the mood, your mental state.
I agree with you.
All of that. Yeah, sometimes it could be less.
Yeah, you also
sometimes
don't have
it
kids,
could be more.
So
right.
You don't
correct.
Have kids to rush and have correct. Sex around. That's true. Quick, they're sleeping. No, they're up. I have kid blue balls half the time.
They're up.
They're up. Yeah. Mia. Hi, Daddy. Daddy. It's like, fuck again. All right. Daddy's just just washing mommy's back. The shower.
What would you say, or what was in the study?
Well, now I have studied, or I not studied. I'm not like a, I'm not Sting, right? But I have practiced.
I thought you did do some tantric stuff.
I did. But I'm not going to call myself any kind of, like, tantra yogi guru. Or something. Yeah, I'm not a guru. A guru. I'm not a puru, a guru of the penis. I'm not giving a holy sacrament to somebody, right? I didn't take it that far. But I did study tantra sex. I went to some seminars. I read some books and stuff like that. Just because at some point in my life, I was like...
It's interesting.
It's interesting. And I wanted to... I guess be a better lover.
That's good.
For everyone involved.
That's good.
Yeah. I felt like even for me, I needed, you know.
It's always improving.
Sure. I was just at that, you know, I'm a giver, not a taker. And I wanted to give.
Yes. That's nice.
For an hour. So in this, you know, you learn certain techniques to keep it going and to, you know, make sure everyone's having pleasure. And to, you know, one of the more interesting techniques that you would learn in Tantra is that you can have a dry orgasm.
Right.
As a man.
This.
Yeah. And that is when you do that, that can be highly disturbing to some women, right? Especially if they don't know it's coming or not coming, so to speak. I guess is the right way to put it. Hey, Dad. Love you. I know. Hey, Mr. Hoadley. So if you practice this, yes, and you haven't given someone a warning about it, then they feel like they've not done their job or something's wrong with them.
Sure.
Right?
No, I can see that.
It's fine. Yeah, no. Who has an orgasm without coming, mm-hmm, right? Well, it's a thing.
It is a
that
thing.
Happens.
Yeah.
So if you were to do that, then maybe in theory, you could last an hour or mm-hmm two or mm-hmm four. However, you know, Sting once said 7 hours.
Yeah.
But
I think
that was a joke and it became a legend, but then he corrected it down the road. He was like, no, that's from the time we start dinner to the time we right finish making love, right? He's
yeah
like, it's not
that's
7 hours.
That's a whole process. Yeah.
But he said, it's a sacrament. You know, he takes his tantra very seriously.
I know. I
where
like that.
I see it as an addendum to my already incredible lovemaking skills.
That's right.
It's like it's like getting a doctorate.
It's right? The cherry on
it's
top.
It's the cherry on top. So I would say that 30 minutes
yeah
is probably a good hearty session, mm-hmm, right? And then between 10 and 20 minutes is a usual session, right? At least when you have kids, let's
right
put it that way.
Yeah, I can see that.
Right? And then there is, of course, the quickie. Mm-hmm. Which is under 10 minutes.
Okay.
Right, including the cigarette. So, okay. In a 2005 Journal of Sexual Medicine, asked a bunch of sex therapists for their opinion on how long sex should last. Now, this is sexual therapists, mm-hmm, people who study this for a living and teach other people how to be healthy in bed. Their guidelines separated sex into four categories: adequate, too short, too long, and desirable.
Okay.
They rated penetrative vaginal sex that lasts from 1 to 2 minutes as too short. Sex that lasted 10 to 30 minutes as too long. Meanwhile, adequate sex lasted 3 to 7 minutes, while desirable sex lasted 7 to 13 minutes.
Okay.
Okay. So I was a little aggressive on the thing, but okay. Most partners say that good sex should last between 15 and 25 minutes.
Okay. That's a good place to start.
But most women reported that sex most times lasts less than 7 minutes, while some reported that 3 to 4 was the norm.
Mm.
3 to 4 minutes.
Hmm.
Guys, what are you doing? 3 to 4 minutes. Come on. As a society, I feel like we got to do better.
Do a better.
Yeah, we
got
to do better. Whoever
yeah
you're making love to, man, woman, furry, whatever you're
yes
making love to, you got to do better than 3 minutes. Now I understand. Sometimes you got to get in and you got to get out. That's mm-hmm just the way that it
sure
is, right?
Yep.
There's that, oh my God, I want to fuck you energy. And, you know, mm-hmm, you just, and,
yeah,
you know, usually the guy wins in that scenario. But everybody feels like, you know, it was an exciting moment.
Yeah.
And then there's the sweet, sweet lovemaking that, yes, you know, can take 25, 35 minutes, something like that. You know, mm-hmm, let me kiss you all over.
Yeah, it's a whole process.
Let me make sure Matthias is still sleeping.
Hey, he's not. Oh.
Yeah. Do you mind if we take a break for Shauna Ray?
Oh my God.
I feel like this is disappointing for all men out there.
Mm.
How can we as a sex do our women dirty like that?
Mm, I know.
Less than 3 minutes.
Yeah, it's not right.
If most of your sexual encounters lasted less than 3 minutes, wouldn't you be completely dissatisfied?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But let me ask you a question. Not having to do with Jeff, right?
Okay.
Take Jeff out of the equation.
Okay.
Because we know what kind of lover Jeff is.
The best one in the world.
We've seen the tape. Venn diagrams. we put Jeff right up there at the top. You know, like who's like Madden used to do the,
yes,
on the teleprompter.
Right.
I've watched. I've been. Oh, look at that hip action.
That's
look at his
right
ass in the air right there. That is apex ass right there. He's good. He knows what he's doing.
Yes.
In your experience and your conversations with other women around the world,
mm-hmm,
as you do, Hoadley, as a representative of the female race.
Female race.
How do you think that is accurate? Do you think it's accurate that most women experience vaginal sex for less than 7 minutes most of the time?
I don't know. I hope
Yeah. Okay. I mean, when you and your girlfriends are sitting around and chatting, do you
about how long? Hey, how long was your vaginal sex last week?
You guys don't have that conversation?
No,
neither do we.
Don't.
Yeah, we don't want to embarrass. Apparently not, because we don't want to embarrass ourselves. We want to be like, "Hey, Bob, how long did you bang Betty for?" Yeah. Less than 3 minutes, bro. Sweet.
you got to the 3 minute mark.
I got to the 3 minute mark.
Okay,
that's right. I just had a hard time digesting this information because it seemed to me to be such a short period of time. I mean,
it
we
does.
Could sit here for 3 minutes in silence and we'd probably still have some listeners, right? That's how short that is.
Yeah, it's pretty short.
It's pretty short.
Especially when you're doing a physical, when you're being physical, you know? I mean, 3 minutes could seem really long if you're talking in front of a crowd. People.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But
for
if
sure.
you're doing something physical that you want to be doing, that you're excited to be doing, I would think you want to.
But I think that's the problem.
Longer.
I think that's the problem as a society is that we see all of this really instant gratification. Do you know how long? I also did this research. Do you know how long an average Pornhub view lasts on a video?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe 3 minutes. I don't know.
39 seconds.
Really?
39 seconds. 39 seconds.
Now, this explains everything.
This explains everything. I know. That's what it is. It's that we're so used to just getting in and getting out, you know? I think that's what it is, too, is that as a child, it's a shameful thing to masturbate.
Right.
And so you do it quickly so that you can not be caught or whatever, right? It's in the, like in the corner, in the dark, literally sometimes in the corner, in the dark, under your covers.
Yes.
Humping your mattress. Ah! Here comes dad. Ah! Yeah. Well, and it's understandable. Like no one wants to be caught masturbating. That's an embarrassing thing.
Yes.
And, but then that teaches you.
it's embarrassing by a parent.
God, no. How many times I was close to, I was probably caught, but my parents probably just like, were like,
we're like
yeah, gotta close that door. Sorry. What's going on in there? Why is Brian dressed up like a cat? Why is he pissing in a litter box? I don't understand what's going on over there.
Yes.
Yeah, that's that. But you're taught that it's very transactional.
Yes.
Where I think, and I'm not saying that women don't also do that, that's transactional, but I think by design, it takes a longer time to get worked up. I'm just making some assumptions here.
Yes.
Jump in. You're the woman in this conversation.
Yeah, no, well, for a woman too, it's so very mental. You know, it's not just what we're seeing or looking at. It's very, it's a whole sensory thing going on that to me should last longer than 3 minutes.
You know, I just had this picture in my head of like to really satisfy, you know, those guys, the one man, like back in the 20s, they had the one man band, the guy who had the cymbal under his arm and the kick drum on his back and the guitar and the harmonica. I always felt like, I always felt like that's how you had to come to the bedroom in order to make sure a woman had an orgasm. Ching, 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 ching.
Let me press this lever and this lever.
This lever, I'm going to do the kick drum at the same time and I'm going to blow on the harmonica.
Yes.
I'm going to stick my finger in your rear and put my tongue on your coochie and make sure my penis is in your hand and twist on your boobs and bite on your neck.
Yeah.
Yeah. All at the same time in order to get it.
Communication is key.
Communication is key.
That's like the communication is key. What does the other person want?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you feel comfortable doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and those two things have to come together.
Weirdest sexual request that you've ever heard in your personal life. Not I'm saying someone made of you, but you've heard someone somewhere was in a conversation and said, someone asked me to do this. And I was like, holy potatoes, I'm not doing this. Or you just thought it was weird.
I mean, nothing comes to mind that I can really think of because again, everybody's different. What's weird to one person isn't even weird to another person.
Well, what was strange to you? Do you remember? Do you remember anything? Anything come to mind?
No, not really. Maybe like, you know, some kind of dress up type thing, but
yeah,
kind of run of the mill though. I've heard with like, nurses, schoolgirl, whatever.
Yeah, you know? I dated this girl for like a hot second, and she was into S&M. And it was I was in over my head from the beginning, right? I mean, I was just in over my head, but she was the one of the sweetest people I'd ever met in my entire life. And I really liked her. I thought she was attractive. And I knew that she did this on the weekend. She was older than I was. I was like, at the time, I was like 19 years old.
She was a professional dominatrix.
She was a dominatrix. I don't know if professional, but that's what she liked to do on the weekends.
Okay.
So she would go to these clubs here in Atlanta,
yeah.
which Atlanta is known in, you know, song and history for having some weird you know, like every city, I'm sure, but our red light district is healthy. Uh-huh. And it was more healthy, like back during the Olympics, it was really healthy.
Right.
We had like six or seven dominatrix, you know, or S&M clubs. We had certainly a lot of gay bars. Yeah. We had, you know, Backstreet, which was open 24 hours and was just like, I can't believe that place wasn't raided by the FBI every other weekend. It was like the most... no shame anywhere. Yes. When people talk about Studio 54 and how crazy that was.
That was our version.
It was our version. Yes. And I think it was just as crazy to some degree. And it was huge. It was like 65 rooms. And, you know, you could find whatever you were looking for at Backstreet. And it opened at midnight and it didn't close until 8 o'clock in the morning. But this girl would make those circuits because she was older than I was. She was like 25 at the time. So she would make those circuits. So we went out a couple times and then things got, you know, physical. And then she was like, do you want to try out, you know, some stuff I'm into. And
I
was
at BDSM.
I was like, you know. And she brought out like, ball gag and a leash. And I was can we skip the ball gag and the leash and go missionary for a couple minutes? How do you feel about that? Can we light some candles?
Right.
Can we light some candles?
See, communication's key.
Have you ever been to the Lilith Fair? Do you mind if we play some Depeche Mode? And so it was a bridge too far for me. Mm-hmm. I'm not into pain in sex. That's not my thing. I'm into pain in general. Like, I'm just not into it. It's not my thing. Right?
No.
But I mean, I was like open to the idea, but
that's key to be open.
And then some things just like, it just killed the mood for me. Yeah, that's scared. It was just more like, I don't want you dragging me around by the leash and doing all that. And I don't really see how that's going to get either of us off, right? I mean, maybe for you, it's interesting to see me in that position.
Right.
But for me, it's not giving me a big, you know, it's not making my pizzle.
Your pizzle
my
grow?
My pizzle snizzle, if you know what I mean, doing that. Hey you, Mr. and Mrs. Podcast listener. We're going to take a short break to let you know a few things. TCBpodcast.com is where you can go to find out more information about Chrissy and I. If you choose, you can watch all the video there or listen to any of the audio. Our entire catalog is there at TCBpodcast.com. You can also drop us a line if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or content ideas. You can send it through the website or you can text us 661-237-8296. That's 661, the word best, the number 2, and the word yo. If you'd like to take a look at us while we're doing this silly program, you can go to youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. We have brand new clips of these episodes every single day of the week, and we do YouTube exclusive content called TCB in the Studio every couple of days. youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. Subscribe if you don't mind at The Commercial Break on Instagram if you'd like to follow us there. A lot of people have written us over the last couple of months and asked, how can we support the show? How can we help it grow? You can tell your friends and family if you think they might be interested, if you're not embarrassed to tell them you listen to The Commercial Break. Or you can leave us a review and or a comment on your favorite podcast publisher. That's the way that we grow the audience, and we certainly would appreciate any help you could give us. We really are grateful that you take the time to listen to our program every couple of days. If you want to support the show even more, if you're in the market for their products or services, you could use our sponsors' specialized URLs or codes. That's how they know that we're doing our job, and that means we can continue to do our job for you for free. And now, a word from said sponsors.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on
your
podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen,
what are you doing?
What do you mean?
Just keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
So in the context of me researching all of this stuff about sex, you serendipitously sent me a link yesterday that you had no idea that I was preparing this particular episode because we usually don't have a ton of conversation. We like to keep things fresh on the show. That's so we don't have a ton of conversation ahead of time. We just kind of go in, right? Mm-hmm. We go in, just, you know, bareback it right in. we kind of pizzle right in there, right? So Hoadley sent me this. She sends me the weirdest, I'd say weirdest, I guess it's not that weird, about these two ladies who are running around Australia, running around the world, these Australians that are running around the world taking pictures of vulvas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the Vulva Acceptance Project is what it's called.
Yes.
So this girl in Australia is literally running around, and apparently she has a wait list for this. Mm-hmm. This is a very popular thing that is happening now. She has taken tens of thousands of pictures of vaginas, vulvas, which we learned from Dr. Sin is the actual
term.
Yes, the actual term we use, right? Is because the vagina is something more specific, but the vulva. Mm-hmm. And she's taken tens of thousands of pictures.
Yeah, I think it's awesome.
And they're on her website. So
I didn't go to the website.
I did, of course. I got to get in there and research.
I just saw the article pictures, which did not have the.
I'll give you the website, guys, in case you were interested. It's comfortableinmyskin.com.au. That's comfortableinmyskin.com.au. And what this girl is doing is trying to bring awareness to the varied versions of the vulva, right?
And they're all different.
They're all different, and they're all lovely. I have never met a vagina that I didn't like.
A vulva.
Yeah, vulva that I didn't like. You know, some guys say they're ass men or boob men. Uh-huh. I'm a vagina kind of guy, a vulva dude, right? Yep. And so this girl's project is right up my alley. Uh-huh. I'm like, oh, look at that. Thousands and thousands of vaginas. So I go to this website, and there's two sections of the website, like split into two sections. It says, browse my boobs or flip through my flaps.
Oh, okay. Flip through my flaps. I like that she's
it's cute, got right?
Humor to it.
Yeah. So I click on flip through my flaps, and up appears a never-ending scrolling catalog.
I need to check this out.
Of vulvas in different varying degrees of openness. Let's put it that way, right? Some women are standing up. Some are laying down. Some have their legs spread. Some have them closed. Some are really, you know, letting you in there, you know, giving it a little extra love, and some are not. There's a point to this. So last night I'm sitting there flipping through the flaps, and I'm like, wow, there really are a lot of different kind of vaginas, right? I'm not necessarily looking at this in a sexual way. I'm just kind of trying to take it as intended the best that I can, right? And I'm like, well, yeah, you know, there's a lot of different kind of vaginas. There's, you know, I don't have to give you through all the description.
Yeah. I have one. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So what I realize is that I was never going to be cut out to be a gynecologist.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll explain why. Because looking at the vulva in a very clinical way like that, like in a very like just kind of take it at face value, not fantasizing about it, but just looking at it in a way, I realized very quickly that I got desensitized pretty quickly to the whole situation. Yeah. And I was like, wow, if you were a gynecologist looking at this all day long, day after day, night after, I mean, it pictures in your head, you studied it for years, you know, that's all you do all day long. Would you really then want to come home and be intimate with your work, so to speak?
Yeah.
And I thought to myself,
it takes a special person.
It's really got to be a very difficult thing to do, to be a gynecologist. And to be, as a man, to be a guy, or I guess a woman too, as a person, to be a gynecologist and then want to sexually desire the thing that you spend nonstop working on in so many varied forms.
Yeah.
And probably some varied forms that certainly aren't photographed, like, you know, on the worst of days, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, holy shit, you know, after like, I don't know, 30 vaginas, I realized I could never be a gynecologist. I couldn't do it. I couldn't take my work home. I couldn't take my work home with me, so to speak.
Yeah, well, there's, I would think too, you'd have to you know, take the patient out of the office, the doctor's office. I mean, hopefully whoever they're going home to isn't laid up on stirrups and you're doing an exam.
Hey, honey, come here and throw your legs on up there. Yeah, I want to take a look at what's doing.
Hopefully there's a different environment that maybe would then make you feel more sexual towards it.
Well, I think it takes a special kind of person to do that, because even after just, you know, 10 minutes of flipping through flaps, I was I was totally desensitized and realized that, you know, while I've never met a vagina, a vulva in person that I didn't like, I'm sure that I'd come across one in my work that I was like, well, this one's difficult. You know what I'm saying? And then how they do that, I don't know. I'd be so interested to talk to a gynecologist and ask them their opinion on this. Like a straight man gynecologist, right? How do you look at vaginas all day long in their varied versions, in their best of days, in their worst of days, and all this other stuff? How do you look at them and work on them all day long and then go home?
I'm sure Astor would be fine if you called up her doctor and wanted to talk.
Starting to make me think that Astor's doctor is a little stranger than I thought he was. He's this Australian. He's this guy's from New Zealand or South Africa, excuse me. He's from South Africa. And he's the kind of guy who makes a joke, but it's never quite lands the right way. So you never know it's a joke. And then he'll give you, he's very like clinical, right? But then he'll make a joke. He'll be like, so how's your anus? I cut it wide open. And you're like,
whoa,
did you say what? You split it wide open. I cut it wide open. I'm just kidding. I didn't actually cut it wide open. You get that? Do you see that? Or he'll be like, I'm going to give you these pills. And then what I want you to do is I want you to have sexual intercourse 3 times for 4 days. And you could throw in a fourth if you'd like. You're sitting there like, is that a joke, or should I actually throw in a fourth? Because that sounds like a lot of work. You never quite.
Not if you're going for 3 minutes. So,
well, when you're having a baby on a clock, let me tell you something about the timing it comes out there. I wonder if we could do like a pizzle acceptance
project.
Yeah, like a penis acceptance project, because I think penises are probably just as varied as vaginas.
Absolutely,
it's like a fingerprint. Everybody's got one. They're a little bit different.
You should start it.
Yeah. Then we'd have to go with, like, you know, circumcised and uncircumcised. And that was a big decision to make with my son about circumcision. How do you feel about circumcision?
Yeah, I'm for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. Why not? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the decision at the end of the day is made largely because I am circumcised.
Right.
And so to have, you want dad, you don't want to have to answer a lot of questions about the differences as they get a little bit older. You don't want any. The doctor pointed this out because I never thought about it until the doctor said, do you want your son circumcised or not?
Yeah.
And I was like,
well, for some it's religious. And
true.
Then there's also too, like, I think there's health benefits to it. I did a little research on this a while back for some
reason. It's about the cleaning and the whole nine yards. Like, but now the opposite argument is you're cutting off half of the nerve system that goes there. So could sex be more pleasurable?
Could be.
Could be. Mm-hmm. But I'll never know, but could be. Yeah. I don't know where the other half of my penis is, but once it's gone, it's gone. And it's such a difficult thing to know is going on. Uh-huh. Like here in the US, it's not a religious reason, you don't go follow the doctor in, and the doctor just does it real quick, right?
Okay.
He's like, okay, today, you know, right before you leave the hospital, like, okay, today's the day.
We're
and,
doing
you know, it. But when they come back out, you know that that's an obviously upsetting surgery, right? Like, it looks upsetting the baby's upset.
Yeah.
But I never thought about it until the day that my doctor asked, would you like to have your son circumcised?
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, that's a good question. I don't know. And he made the point. He said, in my opinion, and I said, what do you think? Well, there are these, you know, the school of thought out there that there are many benefits to keeping, you know, the penis intact and in the way that it was intended, so that they've got all of their nerves and so the, you know, blah, 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 blah. But then there's this other school of thought that the reason why we do it is to make sure that the penis stays healthy and clean and it's easier to, you know, kind of manage. And it's more
easier to manage.
It is easier to manage.
I don't think it ever gets easier to manage.
It gets out of control. It does its own thing. Yeah. I'll tell you that much. So he says, you know, here's what I would use as my guiding light. My guiding light would be this. My guiding light. My guiding pizzle. It's the guiding pizzle. The pizzle principle.
I'm picturing like a lantern. Come this way, Brian.
Come to the circumcision. Bring your penis. Follow the penis-shaped flashlight.
Yeah.
So as the guiding principle.
Right.
As the pizzle principle, as I might say.
The pizzle principle. It's the pizzle principle. Principle. Whoa. Oh. Oh.
It's your pizzle principle. Whoa. Was, are you circumcised?
Yeah.
And I am. And he
and
says.
You said what?
I said, what? You want to see? And when I said I am, he said, well, let's see. I'll try and do it. I'll try and match him up. Another joke that didn't land. I'll see if I can't make him look the same. He said that, and I was like, yeah, I am. He pointed out, probably accurately, well, when your son gets to an age where he's going to realize that daddy mm-hmm. and me have the same thing,
right?
It may be easier to answer questions if everybody looks the same.
Right.
Plus, I think, at least in the United States, it's widely... It's there are far more circumcised men than there are uncircumcised
yes.
men.
Yes.
So, you know, you don't want to, I didn't want to send my son out there into the wild and then, you know, have some disturbing interactions, especially as a teenager.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
In the locker rooms and sleepovers, whatever, you know.
I was thinking more of sex, but yeah, I guess the boys too. I was thinking more of sex. Like, I was thinking more of that, you know, that first awkward interaction that you have.
Yeah.
You know, and you're fumbling around as teenagers.
True.
Yeah. And for me, that was, you know, mm-hmm. 11. But but I think I made the correct decision.
Yeah.
Here. Yeah.
I think it's all personal, but yeah.
You've seen far more circumcised penises than you have uncircumcised. Am I right about
mm-hmm,
that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Far more.
Putting words in your mouth. I'm trying to make myself feel better about the decision I made. You right? What? I don't ever think I've seen an uncircumcised penis in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Except for the. Let me tell you a story. Right before we moved to Atlanta, my dad was looking at jobs all over the country, and it was kind of narrowed it down to two different places: Spencer, Iowa.
Ooh.
Which is in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
It's a tiny town, right? I think I looked recently, and I think Spencer's got like, you know, 100,000 people live in it. But back then, it probably had 10,000 people.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But it's where this job happened to be, this job for my father, or Atlanta, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And so we took two trips to go see both places. When we went to Spencer, my dad was, I think, doing his best to make us feel comfortable, right? Uh-huh. And so the real estate agent with my father took us around to go see some of the things that there were to do in the town.
Okay.
Now, I don't remember a fucking thing.
Right.
Like, it was a baseball field, a movie theater, a grocery store.
Your basics.
Cow pastures. Yeah. And a YMCA.
Mm-hmm.
And so for whatever reason.
I think there's a locker story.
There's a locker story in here. Stories. For whatever reason, my father... the real estate agent said, why don't we go check out the YMCA?
Yeah.
You can see, you know, all the things that we have, you know, a basketball court, a pool, like everything, the thing you see in every YMCA.
Right.
But we walked into that locker room with my father, and I will never forget the deluge of cock flying in my eyeballs.
Right.
Like, I felt like it was just like, because at that time I was like.
Sure. Very sensitive.
I was very sensitive, and I was right at the height of the penis, right? I'm like 11 yeah. years old. So I was penis height.
Yeah.
And there were just dick, 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 but not, you know, like old man dick, right?
Yeah.
Dick, 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 dick. And I just remember being so mortified by that moment. I didn't know where to look, right? Because
yeah.
Because when there's a penis there, you look at the penis, right? But then thinking to myself, and I never forget turning to my brother, turning to my brother and saying, why is there so many people? Why are there so many dicks around? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why is everybody naked? I didn't understand that. I'd never been into a man's locker room before.
Right.
I'd only been into a child's locker room. You don't get naked then. You know, you change your knee pads or something. That's all you do. Put on your new shoes or whatever. You don't actually go in there and get naked.
And so soap up.
Even did you get naked?
Towel up.
Did you get naked in high school gyms?
No.
No. Where did that come from? Why do we see all these movies where all these, you know, like, you know, high school, you know, cheerleader tits too or whatever.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? No, I understand, but remember we were listening to that movie from the 1950s?
Yes.
And they were talking about how, you know, I saw Jimmy's penis in class or whatever.
Gym class.
Jim is showing off his 10-inch cock.
I guess it depends too on the sport, like the sports.
Yeah.
I wasn't on like a physical, very physical sports team.
No.
But
no,
maybe I would have taken a shower. in that situation.
Well, I mean, I went to gym class,
yeah,
but I never, not once, did I ever think about actually getting naked in the gymnasium. Brian, get up here, climb this rope with your massive hard on.
I was gonna say, you got the rope.
But I come over here and hump this rope all the way up to the top. I can't. They're literally laid down. I hurt my pizzle, coach. I got a broken pizzle. But I have never understood. I don't, even when I was in middle school, public middle school, and we would go into the locker room every day for gym class or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't ever remember seeing a naked boy ever.
Yeah.
Like, no, never.
I think it became more of like a health club thing. Right? Yeah. You go work out.
Oh, now I go to the take LA Fitness and there's dicks everywhere.
Take a quick shower.
Yeah, but it's always the old guys. Like, it's the old dudes. You know what I'm saying?
Because they're like, whatever.
Yeah, I guess they're of that generation where it's like, you know, that's just a dick.
Yeah.
Either that or look at my dick. Yeah. One of the two. Some of those guys. It's like, ah, dude, come on, man. Put that thing away. Sometimes it's like a little button penis. You know what I'm saying? Micro penis.
Micro.
Which is an actual condition. I shouldn't make fun of it. But it's you know, but the little button penis, right? Those are the.
Why are you going in the locker room just to put your stuff
pee,
in there?
To go to the bathroom?
Just to pee.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm going to put my stuff where everybody's dick is. Fuck that. I don't want any of your pizzle schnizzle all over my whistle. Yeah. No, I'm going in there. You go in there to pee. That's what you do. You go in there to pee and you go in there to wash your hands and you go in there to, you know, look at other men's penises. Yeah, that's
exactly
what you do. Weigh yourself naked, drop the towel. I turned the corner the other day. There was a dude there standing there weighing himself, but he wasn't facing the scale. He was like facing away from the scale and he was naked. And I is like, I thought to myself, what is going on?
Why?
And I have no idea. Yeah. And I
don't
pissed,
you need to look at the weight?
I came back and he's standing in the same place. I'm like, this guy either has Alzheimer's or he really wants me to see his dick. One of the two. Yeah,
could be both.
So strange. Yeah. And then there was one time where a guy was like, he was drying himself off, right? And he was just going at his balls. He was just like rubbing under his, he was like scrubbing him with a towel. And I was like, what is going on? And I always hear those showers going, can't see him because there's a wall, but it's like kind of like a community shower type thing, right? I imagine. I've never been back there, but you can see
yes,
that it's
you
like,
have.
Yes, I have. I'm curious just like the name. So it's like a wall and then I can hear the showers going behind it. So I imagine it's just kind of like a bunch of stalls and you just go and wash yourself up. But those showers are going every time that I'm in there.
Yeah.
Those showers are going and I hear guys in there splashing around, dropping the soap,
whipping
all kinds of stuff. Yeah. Hey, Jim. What? Hey, Jim. How you doing? Great. Pow. Hey, I didn't know you were uncircumcised. I'm going to look at your pizzle. Hey, is it easy to keep that thing clean? I was just about to hit the shower. You want to watch me wash it?
What?
I'll show you how you roll it back and give it a good swirl. I was in the... I go into the bathroom. So there's the locker room, and then there's a door in the locker room, and that door leads to the bathrooms.
Yeah.
You walk first through a little hallway. It's got a mirror and a couple sinks, and then you turn the corner... And behind that wall is the actual bathrooms.
Okay.
Two stalls, a couple of urinals, and then another row of sinks. So it's like a wall and there's sinks and sinks, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I understand that the gym is a place where you go and after you get dirty, if you got a thing to attend, then you should probably clean yourself up. But I've never thought in my entire life that there would be so many people that had things to do after the gym. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of people that are getting ready for stuff.
Yeah.
Almost everybody, except for me, it seems like. I'm always the one that wants to go home and get cleaned up.
Like, don't look at me.
Don't look at me. It's less than 3.9.
Yeah, well, especially on like a lunch hour, I can imagine.
I think you're going back to work. Yeah, okay. I get it. Yeah. If I had an important meeting after the gym or if I was taking a break from an actual office job and this was close to my office, I could see possibly jumping in the shower. But I think I would dry off and get a towel around me first, like before I walked out. But it's just, okay. So I turn the corner and the two urinals, people are, there's guys in. And then so I go in the stall. But what I notice is just catch it out of the corner of my eye is that there is a guy there and he is flossing his teeth completely naked.
Just nude.
Just nude. Mm-hmm. And he's got a towel out, and on his towel, he's got, like, you know, nail clippers, toothbrush. He was doing grooming, this whole grooming routine, okay. Standing there naked. It's like, dude, come on, man. What are you doing? I'm not paying $29.99 a month to look at your hairy ass floss your teeth. That's the only thing I could think of is that floss going around your hairy ass. That is, I take a piss and I come back out.
He was confident.
Yeah, and I
should he have been confident? Did you take a little peeker?
Yeah, you tried your best not to do that, but I mean, inevitably, your eyes are going to go. Ah! It's going to be like a quick flash. It's going to be like you blink real quick, and then you're like, yeah. Oh, I got something in my eye.
All right.
I got something in my eye. It's a penis. It's your old man penis. So then I'm like, okay, now what do I do? Do I wash my hands in the sink next to this guy? Or do I leave and run the risk of looking like a dirty human being?
Uh-huh.
Right?
Because yeah,
I know I got to wash my hands. I'm about to go do some pump and iron.
Yes.
I don't want my pizzle leather all over someone else's. You know, some. I'm just thinking of other people.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. I never leave the restroom without washing my
sure.
hands.
Sure. Yeah, me too.
So I'm like, in my head, I'm like, be a grown adult,
right,
Brian.
Just go next to him.
This is not just the YMCA in Spencer, yes. Right? You are a grown man. Yes. You're not going to all of a sudden pop an erection and start making love to the guy. Like, it's okay. You can get away scot-free. So I just decide, be a man.
Yeah, go for it.
Go for it. You know, even though you don't have your penis out, he's got his penis out. Two men. You're just two men just at the gym, right?
Yes.
So I wash my hands. Paper towel dispenser, paper towel dispenser. And I go to do the zzz, and
right.
zzz, nothing comes out.
Oh.
And I'm like, I got to walk around this guy's penis. And so he turns his whole body toward me. And he goes, this one's got some paper towels. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Thanks.
Yeah, can I reach around you? Mind if I do a reach around? So now I've got to walk all around this guy's naked ass and go over there and go. Oh my God. It was like, these are just the things that go through my head. I know I'm fucked up, but I was just like, oh my God, I don't want to reach around this guy while he's flossing his teeth.
No,
completely
you can't
naked.
Do a reach around.
Hairy ass. And by the way, that ass just was like, it was like a bushel of hair. I mean, it was as if I don't know, but his shit must have to fight its way out every morning. Like,
it's like just, Monster Hunters?
Yeah, like Monster Hunters. Like, he could have braided it, put a little flowery cap on it. It was gross. And I know you can't control how much hair is on your ass. I get it.
No.
But if you're sitting there taking 15 minutes in with your balls, you know, basically hanging on the counter of a public bathroom. Yes. And that's the other thing is like leaning up against it, like brushing it. And all I could think about is that naked, but there's naked balls just touching the counter. And
yeah,
I
he
like,
didn't have to be naked.
No, you don't have to be naked to floss your teeth unless you're at the house. That's what you do. So all, so my thought was.
I should talk about this on the podcast.
Yeah. My thought was I should talk about this on the podcast. My thought was, you don't have to be naked in order to floss your teeth.
Right.
You could have just as well just gotten dressed and then flossed and brushed your teeth.
Yeah.
At that point, you're just
or at least a towel.
Yeah, a towel, a robe,
the minimum,
a pizzle leather, something like that.
Cause
a sarong. That probably would have been worse. I probably would have just rather seen his penis. Because the truth is, I think some of those people are just exhibitionists a little bit.
Yeah.
They get a little, it's a little tickle in their pickle, but see, you know, watching other people look at them, right?
Yeah.
And I've known some exhibitionists, trust me, in my lifetime.
I know you have.
Oh, yes, I have. And it's bothersome, actually.
Yeah.
Like, I dated a girl one time, and any time we go to a hotel room, she just had to walk in front of the hotel room naked. I'm not going to say her name because I think she listens to the show, but she'll know who she is. I dated a girl one time who took her top off at any time she had a couple of drinks, any reason to get naked in front of other people,
yeah.
It was. And it was just so, at that time I was in my 20s, it was so bothersome to me.
Right.
I was like, can you please put your tits away from my family? Like, because,
yeah.
You know, my little brother would be like walking in the house and she'd be like, hey, and you know, I realize, you know, you got a great rack, but could you please not show my brother every chance you get?
Right.
But Danny used to say, man, I've seen those tits more than I've seen my own girlfriend. Unbelievable. All right. That's your obligatory. That's your obligatory sex episode of the commercial break.
That is the obligatory sex episode.
We do one every quarter. There it is.
Right.
Get your family and friends to listen. Send this one to Mr. Hoadley at gmail.com. Are you not going to tell Dad to listen to this one?
No.
Well, I'm going to turn this microphone off, and Chrissy's going to directly beg me not to run this one. She's going to be like, this is a canned episode, right?
This is a backup.
We have canned episodes for we have canned worse episodes than this, Brian. Please. Oh, no, ma'am. It's going on straight tomorrow.
We got through it. We got through it. I thought we brought up some good points.
And I don't think we made it to... too graphic?
No.
No. It's kind of like informational and entertainable.
I like it.
Entertainment, infotainment. We're at the cross section. That's what you get here at the commercial break season number 3. We appreciate all of you, every single podcast listener. Please do us a favor. Rate and review us on your favorite podcast publisher. It really does help, and it's working. We're growing the audience day by day. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We never imagined. Never imagined. No, and I know we always...
never dreamed.
Yeah, we are never serious on this show. But that is the truth. We never imagined, never dreamed. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We love you. Anything we can do for you, let us know. 661-237-8296. 661-BEST, the number 2, Y-O, YO. www.tcbpodcast.com is where you go. You find out more about Chrissy and I. You can listen to all the audio, watch all the video. Whatever you want to do, it's right there on tcbpodcast.com. If you'd like your TCB collectible sticker, go to the website, click on the I Want My Free Sticker. We'll tell you how to get it. You tell us where to send it. That's how easy it is. YouTube.com/thecommercialbreak for content you cannot find anywhere else. Our goal in season number 3 is to get to 5,000 YouTube subscribers. We got a long way to go, but I know we can do it.
We can do it together.
YouTube.com/thecommercialbreak. Check out In the Studio. You don't catch that on the podcast. And clips every single day of the week. So, I love you.
I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
I don't know what else we can do today, really. I think we've pretty much done. I'm sure you've turned off by now, but we'll see how many people get through this entire episode. But there's a little thing that we like to do here at the podcast. We like to, we always do, we must do this. We say,
bye!
The commercial break. New episodes on Tuesdays and now Fridays. New YouTube clips drop daily at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. Visit tcbpodcast.com for access to our entire media library. Follow us at The Commercial Break on Instagram. Each episode is written and produced by Brian Green, co-hosted by Chrissy Hoadley, with additional content provided by Tina Connell.